You are listening to From a Stranger to a Stranger. My name is Issa Martel. Today is Safar the 19th in the year of 1440 after the Hijra, which corresponds to Sunday, October 28th, 2018 in our common calendar. So it's been a bit since I made a podcast. The reason is not because I didn't make some, it's because I pulled them. I had talked about Saudi Arabia and what was going on there. I had recorded some things about it, but the situation was changing so much that I had decided to pull what I had recorded and wait till this whole thing was ended and write something that was more befitting to the entire situation and address it in that manner. Basically, in a nutshell, just to touch upon it since I brought it up, I highly disagree with the Saudi Arabian government on pretty much everything they do. The only thing that I think they do well is they facilitate Hajj and Umrah for the Muslims. I like what they do there. I like the how they built up Mecca, and I like this type of stuff. But anything else, I'm not a fan of. And ultimately, I think that the Saudi family needs to be gone, needs to be done away with. It needs to go back to be called Arabia and some sort of new government that isn't what, like a monarchy there needs to be established, which I do think will happen over time. So what I want to talk about, though, is Sinead O'Connor. Sinead O'Connor has a lot of things going. She recently came out and said she accepted Islam. And so we have this buzz about her being Muslim. And just as I figured, and my wife figured, and other people figured, that she'll get some sort of hype in the beginning, you know, and she has. She got this hype. She was hyped up. Oh, Sinead O'Connor accepted Islam. You know, that's great for her. Alhamdulillah, we say, which it means like all praise Allah, all praise the Creator. But I'm going to use her conversion as a stepping point to address some other problems. Why is it that her converting to Islam is even a big deal, right? Why did she even have to make it public? Why did she do these things? For me, I can see that she was a priest or ordained minister or whatever. So if she had a congregation, she would have to address this, which is understandable. I don't know if she did or not. But I mean, if she was clearly involved with some sort of previous religion organization to that point, then that would be an issue. The fact that she's famous isn't really big because, I mean, I don't know what she did. I haven't heard any Sinead O'Connor song in years. Probably youth these days don't even know who she is. But that, things aside, right? She's hyped by certain other people, right? And from my experience, the reason is one, she's female, right? So females tend to get more of a put up on the spotlight than guys do with regards to Islam, because there's like the movement that says women are oppressed in Islam. So when you have someone from the West who is a female converting to Islam, you know, this seems to be like a big, oh, look, see, blah, 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 whatever have you, you know. And that she's white. And when white people convert to Islam, it's even a bigger thing. So if you're white, female, and famous, you hit all the checkpoints. That you hit them all right there. So you're going to make the news, right? You're going to make the news of doing that, right? Really, I believe that religion is something that's personal for people, and, you know, you don't need to state your religion. And even your sexual orientation, your gender identity, and all these things, I don't really feel are necessary for you to just put out there. And I noticed that the youth, or not the youth, the younger generation, like the people that are in their 20s, this is more of a thing with them than it is with my age bracket. And honestly, I don't really care. I don't really care what sexual preference you are. I don't care what religion you are, in a broad sense, you know, in a broad sense. Obviously, if you're a Muslim, we might have some things more in common. I might see you, you know, holiday-wise, Islamic holiday-wise, and these types of things are clearly more important, I guess, for using that phrase. But in general, you know, your actions speak of your moral character to me. Your ideology, I can't in any way fault. I'm not even going to say fault. I don't know what the word is to say this without in like a one term thing, but I'm just going to explain it. You or anyone, whomever is listening, or if you look across the span of humanity, you whatever you are. I'm Muslim. You might be. My family isn't Muslim, except for my wife and kids. But my family, extended family, like my parents and every single other person that is blood related to me, is not Muslim. So you're whatever you are, right? Tomorrow you may be Muslim. 10 years from now you may be Muslim. You know, 30 years from now you may be Muslim. You may be Muslim. You may convert to Islam the day that you're dying. Like on your deathbed, you might convert to Islam. So really, should I hold some sort of, I don't want to say prejudice, but it's that type of thing against people if they're not of my same belief system, you know? Why would I do that? Because I wasn't always Muslim, right? And I did some crazy, crazy, jacked up stuff, you know? So for me to sit now and judge a person or choose not to talk with so-and-so or not to interact with these types of people based on solely this thing, right, which is my ideology, to me would be mind-boggling crazy. Now, there are obviously exceptions, like if the person is like some crazy killer or pedophile or something like this, you know, abusive person or these types of things that spread across that aren't religious based, you know what I mean? But they could be like ideologically or morally based. I have no problems with not associating with them. And I would advise not to. And even people that could be Muslim also, if they have these things, these types of traits, I wouldn't associate with them as well. So now we see, you know, Sinead O'Connor and the likes of these people converting to Islam. We have Muslims going crazy. Not crazy, but, you know, either they're like, oh, yeah, like, there's a famous Muslim scholar here in America, Yasser Qadhi. He sent out a tweet on the day it happened, saying that he listened to her when he was younger or whatever and congratulated her. And I'm sure there were multiple other people who did that as well. But she posted a picture. What came out of this discussion that I had with people, or I listened to, I posted the article about it on my Facebook page, and it brought out like a dialogue, which I enjoyed. And it caused some discussion. What I think that what she did that was a poor decision is posting a picture of her wearing a hijab. I don't know how long she converted to Islam. I mean, I don't know if it was like weeks ago or something and she's just coming out with it now. But if she just converted to Islam, say, like a day or two previous to this article, and decided to start covering her hair, I just see this as, and she changed her name too. I see this as potentially disastrous move. And the reason is because while 100% I hold the opinion, which is the majority opinion of Muslims, that women need to cover themselves, which is just their hair, includes their hair. And you see this throughout the Muslim world in some form of another. There's variances on what other parts of the body need to be covered, like your face or hands or whatever. But in general, the consensus is that your hair is part of the things that need to be covered. However, that's not a main point of the religion at all. The religion, a main concept of the religion is to try to attain a state of how can I explain it? It would be, here we go. I'm typing up some. Yeah, so this is how I'll explain it. Like, so a main thing would be like to have taqwa, we say, and often you'll hear Muslims say it, which unfortunately certain people transform or translate this to meaning like fear God, like fear your Lord. And they'll say like a takola, which is like fear Allah, you know. However, I learned this from the Moroccans, when they asked me, what does fear mean? Like, what's the word for fear? And, you know, they were saying, how would you translate taqwa? And these weren't scholars or anything. They were just regular, extremely humble and practicing Muslims. And I said, well, in English, we typically say it's like fear of God type of translation. And they were like, no, that's not right. And these were people who spoke English also. And they struggled to find an English word for this word taqwa. And at the time, the translation started to being into God consciousness. And it's not like God consciousness in the sense that you're one with God, but it's kind of more in the way that you're always cognizant of God. So in everything that you do, your life is based on reflecting upon the existence of God, and what you're doing, would God be pleased with this? That eventually you're going to see your creator, the ultimate reality of your death, you know, all these types of things that play into your life. Play into this concept of taqwa, right? So covering your hair or changing your name isn't really essential to this concept. You know, when the original Muslims, and we're speaking about the followers of the Prophet Muhammad Muslims, because we, as Muslims, will consider the Jews or the followers of Moses, the followers of Jesus, and all the prophets, in a sense, they were Muslim. We say this because of the meaning of the word Muslim means to submit to God, basically. And all the prophets and everyone in those stages did this. So when Prophet Muhammad came with this revelation, it took 23 years, right, for the people that he was with to have their faith built up to a point where Allah said the religion is complete. So if you're hanging out, right, if you're a person who's hanging out every day, you see the Prophet Muhammad, right, you see him. You're seeing miracles that are happening. You're seeing the direct result of what he is preaching come into play, the implementation of it. You're hearing the explanation from his mouth, right? So if it takes years to cultivate for him, the prophet himself, to cultivate the people who he is physically with daily, to cultivate their faith to a level where they can be like, you know what? Whatever you say, we're able to do. You know, 23 years of that he preached for, right? And ultimately he died then after 23 years. But, you know, if it took this long and you're around him, how long is it going to take one of us, right? One of us here today in you know, it's 1440. That's the Islamic year, right? 1440, the Islamic year started, right? That's not on day one that Prophet Muhammad became a prophet. That's when they migrated to Medina, what we call Medina now, the city that's known as Medina. Excuse me. So that wasn't, you know, that wasn't in the beginning. So we're 1,440 years later, right? They were already, Prophet Muhammad was already preaching for 10 plus years, right? 10 plus years to the followers, his followers. And then they had to flee to what was then called Yathrib, which is now called Medina. The establishments that are like the doctrines of the religion weren't established formally until they were in Medina. So you have people following him for 13 years, right before real formal institutionalized religion, like how to pray, like to pray five times a day. You know what I mean? Ramadan, to fast Ramadan. When these things became obligatory, this type of stuff, that was when they were in Medina. So my getting back to my point is that you had his followers hearing him every day, their level of faith, it took 10 plus years to get to a level where they can accept this, like flat off. Yo, we gotta fast. A month, bang. You know what I mean? You got to do that, you know? What's it going to take you? You know what I mean? To cover wasn't in the beginning, right? Women, that verse of the Quran wasn't the first thing that came down. Right? So why are you telling women on day one you got to cover your hair? I'm not saying it's not obligatory for them to cover, but that's not what we should be telling them when they first enter Islam. Look at the beginning. And I know if you're not Muslim and listening to this, it's I'm trying to keep it from going too deep into Islamic theology. But if you look at the original verses of the Quran that were revealed in like a chronological order, not original as if they are change now, but in the sequential order of verses that were revealed, it's not in the way the Quran is set up when you read it. That's not the order that the verses came down. But if you look at the verses in the beginning, when he first started preaching, they're very short, and they make you reflect upon your own creation, reflect upon the existence of God. You know, reflect upon these things. Look at nature. Look at creation. Look at the stars. Look at yourself. You know, these things. And this is what builds your faith. Putting on a headscarf and changing your name doesn't make you have a high level of faith. You know what I mean? You might say, oh, well, yeah, Isa, but, you know, that's not your real name. So you changed your name. And yes, I did. But it's funny because I changed my name during a time period when it was kind of the thing to do in the mid-90s. This was the thing. you know, people changed your name and to adapt an Islamic identity. And this is kind of like the reason why I and other people have, whom I've spoken to, have issues with her being Sinead O'Connor, and those other people that do this have problems, is because you're kind of erasing your identity, your cultural identity, and adopting an identity that isn't your own, right? We have Muslims in probably, I don't know if they're in every country in the world. There probably are some countries that they're not, little countries, I guess. But in general, as a general statement, there's Muslims all over the world. Right, but the image of a Muslim that you think of, if I say, oh, there's a Muslim woman, you think of a specific region of the planet of Muslims. You'll think of, like, the Middle East. Well, specifically, you'll probably either think of, like, Saudi Arabia, the way the women dress there in all black, or dark colors, or maybe East African, this type of thing, like Somali. We have a lot of Somalis here in Minneapolis. So that's what you think of a Muslim. Muslim women-wise, I'm speaking. But there's Eastern European Muslims. There's Russian Muslims. You know, you go up into, like, Central Asia. These are different cultures. You know, you don't think of them as, like, the image of Muslims, you know. So, I'm sure there are Irish Muslims. obviously, there are before her, you know. What is the culture of Ireland? I don't know. I've never been to Ireland. What is the culture? Does it... is there some sort of hijab or something that's cultural appropriate to her in that region? Ireland isn't a Muslim country, and this is the same with the West. It's like, or the West meaning here in the United States, is that converts typically try to become Arabs, I guess. Instead of maintaining your sense of American, being American. And I feel that this is becoming a problem now as we grow as a minority group in the U.S. and you have people accepting Islam that are Americans and have no relationship to anyone from a Muslim country, the Middle East, Africa. We have Westerners, complete Westerners. We see what happens in the mentality. Like now, here we are. I accepted Islam. I converted in 1997, so 20 years later. You know, we can look back and see what has been the progress of us here in the United States. And from my experience, the issue that we all did back then was try to be like these immigrants. And maybe we were brainwashed or whatever, or just wanted to belong, you know, especially if you're not white. If you're not white, you have a struggle. If you're non-white and poor, you have a real struggle in this religion when you convert to Islam, especially back then. Maybe now it's a little bit soft, but I moved here to Minneapolis in, 2009. And I'll give you an example. At the time, I came straight from Morocco to Minneapolis, and I had spent the past 3 previous years in Morocco. I didn't have a job. I needed to get a job or whatever. I went to the mosque, and my wife had some connections with one of the now really large Islamic groups, but back then it was still a little bit small. And I asked if I can like do some work or whatever and help there, but they kind of like shunned me and were like, no. However, get this, and it's not going to be surprising if you know anything about people. The white dudes who were my same age bracket, you know, and they had just converted to Islam. They were like all over them, right? They were all over these people. And it just shows blatant, like, racial, I don't know what the, I know there is a term, but I can't think of it now, when you, it's not racism, but these people, these Muslims, who are brown, right, these people are brown also, they're not white people, they are brown immigrants, have this obsession when white people who maybe they consider Americans to be white, you know, I don't know what it is, but when they accept the religion, they'll put them on speaking tours and everything, and look at it, the proof is out there, clear as day. Look at the converts who got these speaking gigs, right? They didn't do, and we're talking about not ones that went to studied and everything. I'm not going to name people specifically, but they're easy to YouTube. You just like, they're out there. All of them are white. No real education, right? One of them just got famous off telling how he converted to Islam. You know, he gave this conversion story, and these people eat these stories up. They eat them up like, oh man, yeah, you went from all this to all this. And look, like, his life, I don't know. I'm not going to say my life is harder than someone else's or whatever, but yo, like, any brother or sister or man or female, whether you're anyone, let's just say this, who runs through the penal system of the United States had it harder than if you were homeless on the street. And you might disagree with me. I know a lot of homeless people. I see them every day. And like I said on the last one, the last podcast, I believe, you're less than that. But they don't want to hear how Muslims went to prison and became this. Well, now they do. Now, like Malcolm X, they had this big thing here about Malcolm X, you know, here in Minneapolis, and people are all over it. You know, but what about the people that are struggling now? The minorities, people of color. You don't even have to be a person of color. If you're white, I know white dudes in Chicago. There's this brother who's white. He works with like Latinos and everything. You know, and they're poor. So that's like the counterpoint is that you don't have money. You know, so you're nothing, and it's kind of sad especially when you're talking about a religious perspective, that this exists in the religion. Or not in, it doesn't exist in the religion, excuse me. It exists amongst the groups who organize things in the United States under the guise of Islam. Or the banner of Islam, I should say, not guise. Because I don't think they're trying to trick anyone. It's just, I think they're just extremely biased to specific target individuals. And they think that having white poster boys up is going to get them. Now they have white women, you know. Oh, look at this, a white singer, famous white singer, right? And she'll be lauded and everything. And look at this. Let me give you an example, the difference, right? Yvonne Ridley. If you know who she is, she's not, I don't know, maybe she did change her name or something or whatever, but her acceptance of Islam, she was captured by the Taliban, right? And later, not like except converted to Islam while she was a prisoner, she, I'm glossing over the details and just going off memory, but I believe when the Taliban were going to set her free, whoever the imam or the scholar in the Taliban that was like negotiating or that just said, give me your word that you'll read the Quran and that's it. And you're free to go or whatever, or however they exchanged her release or whatnot. So I think it was like a year later or something that she read the Quran just because she told this dude that she would. Like she wanted to keep her word. And from that, she converted to Islam. Now, I don't want to say I have more respect for Yvonne Ridley than Sinead O'Connor. But at this point in the game, I would listen to Yvonne Ridley's point of view on subject matters over Sinead O'Connor's. Sinead O'Connor don't know anything about Islam. And in a broad sense, you know, I'm just speaking in general. She just became Muslim. She doesn't know anything. Changing her name, covering her hair, these things have little to do with the essence of Islam. Like I said, and by her posting this, this is what gets crazy. She posted a video of her calling the Adhan, I guess. I didn't watch it, but I know that it was there because I saw it, posted in the article I read. And the reason I didn't listen to it is because I knew that I didn't want to, trash talk her for, or I didn't want to think ill or say anything negative about her, not pronouncing words correctly or being like, that was bad and she's a singer or whatever and she should have, be able to yell this out or whatnot. But now here we are, people are, ripping on her, you know, so, and they're Muslims. So they're Muslims, they're ripping on her for posting this, you know, what about her views outside of Islam? You know, they're going to be attacking her. And instead of just being like, hey, you know, great, she became Muslim. This is great. Let her go do her thing, you know? But perhaps she needs to get out of the spotlight like other celebrities have and then come back and be like, you know what? I get what's going on. I could address these issues. Because now if she keeps on Twitter just babbling or whatever, it's going to look bad for her and for anybody else. She has mental health issues or had them. I don't know if they've been addressed. It's opening the gates, the floodgates of things to happen. Look when Cat Stevens became Muslim, right? He disappeared for a bunch of years. He just went, disappeared, fell off the radar, learned his stuff, and came back and was like, hey, yeah, you know, this, that, and the other thing. Of course, obviously, back then, we didn't have social media like we do today. So this is another thing. So I'm going to end this here because we're pushing the time. But I do want to talk about some other things about Sinead O'Connor. So I might do another part of this and post it up later. But that's what's been going on. Those are some of my thoughts on it. And I'll check you out. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.